Head back to your call shortly. We want to jump on the line. 1-300-736-736 is the number. 1-300-736-736. The open line brought to you by Werribee Kia. Let's talk some soccer, some EPL as well with Daniel Garb, who's been good enough to join us. Leicester, Liverpool, Everton and Villa all up the top of the English Premier League ladder as it stands right now. Still a long, long way to go. But it's been an interesting start to the season. Daniel Garb, who joins us. You can check out the Greats with Garby podcast on all major platforms. Most recent EP with Alyssa Healy. Great to have you, Garby. Welcome to the program.
Right, yeah, I spoke to Alyssa yesterday after she broke MS Dhoni's record. So that was good timing. She's a good episode. So thanks for the plug. Look forward to it, to chatting some football with you, though.
Yeah, Greats with Garby is the podcast you can download. Let's talk some EPL. What have you made of the opener? What did you make of Liverpool's 3-1 win against Arsenal, firstly?
Yeah, well, it was super impressive. I mean, they put on a wonderful display, the Reds. It was brilliant, controlled football. I mean, Arsenal were chasing shadows. I mean, it reminded me of when Liverpool used to play Arsenal and they had Henry and Vieira and Pires in the team, and the Reds just couldn't get the ball back. And whatever half chance they got, they had to take. Arsenal did early on, but then Liverpool just managed to equalise and then take the lead not long after. So they were fantastic, and important to put in a display like that a day after Man City was smashed by Leicester, of course, which again showed up their defensive frailties. And from the Arsenal point of view, after two wins, a reminder of just where they're at and where a lot of teams are at. And that's a long way off Liverpool at the moment, who haven't lost a beat really since their title winning triumph last season.
Yeah, so Chelsea have had a rocky start, and so have Man City and Man U.
Yeah, they have, and Chelsea's is interesting because they splashed the cash big time in the off season, and they were coming off a really good campaign in Frank Lampard's first season in charge, where they finished in the top four, got through their group stage in the Champions League, but they did so without much pressure attached because people weren't expecting too much from them going into that season. Completely different set of events this time around. With all the money they've spent and all the talent they've brought in, it was always going to take a while, you would think, with a shortened pre-season for them to gel. But pressure comes with their big acquisitions, and that's putting the microscope on them more than before. So that's an issue for Frank Lampard to deal with. They were knocked out of the League Cup this morning by Tottenham on penalties as well. And Man City just haven't rectified their defensive problems. They look a shambles at the back. He's spent over £400 million now, Pep Guardiola, on his defence. But whoever he plays there, the structure just does not seem to be in place. And they get ripped apart at the back far too often. And for Leicester to score five away from home against Man City is a big concern for them.
Should Everton fans get their hopes up? What have you made of Villa's start? They've won a couple and, you know, they were reasonably impressive or very impressive against Fulham.
Yeah, I thought Villa would have a good season after surviving relegation, and they've started well. Long way to go, of course. Everton fans should certainly be optimistic. Can they maintain this? Can they push for a top four spot? It's possible. It certainly is. With a manager like Carlo Ancelotti, who's won the Premier League before with Chelsea, of course, and has won the biggest trophies in world football, done so well in the Champions League with the likes of AC Milan and Bayern Munich and that before. I mean, they've got one of the absolute best managers in the game, and that should give everyone confidence. And then you add players like James Rodriguez, the Colombian superstar who started ever so well, and a few others. I mean, Everton do look like the real deal this year and a team that can push for a top eight spot. Who knows? Maybe it will open up for them come the halfway point of the season, come Christmas, for them to say, all right, we're actually in position to go for a top four spot. I'm not sure they'll quite be there come the end, but they've started ever so well. And their fans shouldn't be confident of that, but they should be optimistic of a really good season and one that they desperately needed.
Can you see this season actually shaking everything up dramatically? Because we are in this coronavirus world right now, and we're in a different situation in Australia than they are in Europe right now. Can you see it shaking it up to the point that we might get something surprising happen?
I think where it's possible in that regard is the fact that there's no fans. So I think the home ground advantage just gets diluted slightly. And I think we are open to a few more upsets as a result. I mean, look, Liverpool plays the way they are. It doesn't matter if there's 100,000 inside the ground or five ants. They're just playing that well. It's not going to make a difference. But you look at a team like Manchester United. Look at that opening weekend. Now they go to that game, having had a shortened pre-season. Crystal Palace comes to Old Trafford, and Old Trafford, that's a shadow of what we expect, because there's no one in there as opposed to the 73,000 usually in there, singing loudly and making it intimidating for opposition fans, for opposition players. And Crystal Palace goes there and plays him off the park in the first 45 minutes and comes away with the win. I think in those situations, when a home team is not at their best, especially the big clubs, then all of a sudden the away team and a slightly smaller club can just grow into a game a bit more, because there isn't that intimidation from the crowd.
What have you made of the new accidental handball interpretation?
Oh, well, this is the big talking point for the start of the season, and it's causing a lot of furor, and for good reason. I'll read some stats to you, Dwayne, and this sums it up. So the most penalties awarded in a Premier League season in the last 5 years over the course of a season is 106. We are on course, the projections, considering there have already been 20 penalties awarded this season in the first three rounds, the projections for the amount of penalties awarded at the end of the season is 292. For handball, and that's the key factor in this, the most handball penalties we've had in the last 5 years is 19. We've already had six this season. The projection come the end of the campaign is for 88. Over four times more penalties awarded for handball is the projection than what we've ever had in the five seasons previous in the Premier League. I mean, that's
so alarming. Is more scoring better? Yeah, so is more scoring better, or are people complaining because this is against the tradition where, you know, once upon a time, if it accidentally got headed down onto your hand that you thought you had in a position where it wasn't going to get touched and it just ricocheted into your hand, it wasn't a penalty that was given. Is this going to be changed back mid-season, or are we going to just have to go with it now?
We'll wait and see. I'd be surprised if the rule is amended during the season. I can't see that happening, but the calls are certainly loud for that to be the case. That we all want lots of goals. We all want more goals, but they've got to be the right way. And when teams get robbed because of ridiculous penalty decisions, which we're getting at the moment, that's a concern. And the issue at the heart of this is whether your arm is in a natural position or not. And they basically, in order to take out subjectivity when it comes to penalty making decisions, they've just said that whenever the ball hits the arm inside the penalty area, it's a penalty if the arm is away from your body in any way, shape or form. And in certain situations, it's just ridiculous, because there are times when the attacker is so close to the defender and he's not able to set himself yet in a defensive way, and the ball hits the arm, and through video review, they're pointing to the spot straight away. There's no common sense. Yeah. And that's the problem here. There is no common sense. There's no looking at it and going, the defender actually couldn't do anything there. I'm not giving a penalty. It's just letter of the law stuff, and it's frustrating everyone enormously.
Garvey, we might get you on again later in the week or early next week. We'll talk more about it. Let's talk more soccer on this program. We'll get you back on and explore at more depth. Great to have you. You can check out the Greats with Garvey podcast. Kendall Stevens is on the line to talk some basketball. So some NBL coming your way next.